The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
It's late, hearts have been broken, and we are here to talk about the Bengals' latest foray in the AFC Championship game, and this time, I am not alone. You probably know this guy from some of the stuff that he has done on Cincy Jungle recently, but this guy was one of the main guys who got me into Cincy Jungle, 13 years ago or so. Jason Garrison joining me. He's going to be doing some stuff with us, not only on CincyJungle.com, but maybe helping us out with some producing things and videos and, you know, helping us out with a lot of different stuff. And Jason, happy to have you on. I wish it was a little bit more of a joyous occasion, my friend, but at least I won't be flying solo tonight. Misery loves company. And how you doing, man?
Good. Well, no, I'm not good. I was, you know, I was good before the
game. That's your first line on this show. Yeah. Good. Well, yeah. I'm not good. But yeah.
I appreciate you having me. I'm excited. You know, it was very frustrating to see them, you know, lose by 3 points on the road, especially the way that they lost. You know, a penalty kind of deciding every. You never want the official to be put. You never want an official to decide the game, and that's basically what happened. I don't think that particular penalty was a bad penalty, but. There were some, though, for sure.
We're going to talk about that.
Yeah.
Okay. We usually do, we're going to go through the box score and look at trends and stats and all that kind of thing. And, you know, kind of the tail of the tape. We'll give our takes on some of the stuff. We've got more shows this week that we'll do that as well, but I know it's late for a lot of folks. We've already got, you know, quite a few live viewers already, even though it's midnight Eastern. Yeah. So, it's late, but we appreciate it. And I at this point, quite honestly, having the people that we have, I'm sure a lot of people are like, I'm turning it off. I've already seen a lot of people saying they're not going to watch the Super Bowl and a lot of different things about that. But it is what it is. And look, let's just start with what and we're going to have silver lining stuff. I promise this isn't just going to be, you know, this isn't just going to be, you know, blast this person or blast, you know, whatever. Here's the thing. Okay. I'm not the guy that likes to say they lost the game because of the refs. And I still don't think that that is an applicable statement here with what I saw. What I am, I don't know if enraged is the right word, but what I'm very, very irritated about in this one, Jason, is that I found, you never won an AFC championship game to have a major talking point be in the officiating, be in the refereeing. And I know a lot of people will look at this and they'll look from the outside and they'll go, oh, the Bengals guys, of course, I'm talking about the officiating. And, oh, what about these missed calls against the Chiefs? And I understand that, but this is a major talking point. This is the second largest game in NFL season the second most important game in the NFL season. And to have the officials have such a large thumbprint on this, that's what bothers me. And I'm talking, trust me, I've got a play-by-play thing where I'm going to show you some things at the end in these last two drives where you go, wow, that's weird. And I'm namely talking about, you know, you look at the intentional grounding, right? Where P. Ryan was in the area. And then, of course, you've got a couple of no calls on the following drive. You go, what happened? And then, of course, Joseph Osai. Now, to me, Joseph Osai, you can say maybe that was a little ticky-tack, whatever. That's going to get called, especially against Patrick Mahomes, every time.
Every time. Every time. Yep. Anytime.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to cut you off. My problem with it is just that I don't like that in this high profile of a game that one of the major talking points, and not just from Bengals fans, I'm talking about from, I'm seeing it on Twitter. I'm seeing it in a lot of places.
It's trending on Twitter.
Yeah, exactly. Where it's like, I don't want to say refs cost the Bengals the game, there were impactful moments in this game by the officiating crew. Then there's really not another way around it.
No, absolutely. Yeah, it is trending on Twitter. The NFL is rigged. I don't necessarily believe that's the case. There were a couple of missed calls. There were, like you said, with the P. Ryan being in the area on intentional grounding. There were a couple of calls that I thought were questionable. There was, I don't know if it was the Bengals' last offensive drive, but Burrow had thrown a pass and then just got pushed down on the ground a good second after he threw the pass, and it would have been a ticky tack foul had it been called, but it could have been called. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So I want you to continue, but I'm just going to say this on that play. I didn't see that till later, but I think it was the defender had about three or four steps and just kind of gave him a light shove. Right. So, but it was, those were the borderline calls that seemed to be going the other way as opposed to not going the Bengals way. And so that's where I kind of go, hey, if you're going to push the envelope on some of these calls, make it be for both teams.
Right.
I didn't mean to cut you off, but that play right there kind of encapsulates a little bit of my gripe with that.
Right. So yeah, you have to call those plays, call those fouls on both teams, or you don't call them for both teams. One of the two, let them play or call them, you know? So Burrow didn't get that. And, you know, you saw him, he jumped up and he was looking at the ref, yelling at the ref, you know, where's the flag? But you're right. Anytime that Patrick Mahomes has got his foot on the white and someone touches him, there's going to be a flag. That's just the way it is. You know, he's Patrick Mahomes. He's the face of the NFL right now. That's not to say that he didn't play amazing tonight, because he did.
He did. He played very, very well.
Considering he's got, one and a half legs right now. He was limping around. We saw that after he kind of threw off balance running to the left. So what he did tonight was amazing. He put the team on his back. He played great. I don't want to take that away from him. And the Bengals had some opportunities to do some things that they didn't. They just didn't make the plays they needed to. But yeah, I hate the idea that a game of this magnitude, and you're right, it's the second most important game of the season after the Super Bowl, a game of this magnitude being decided potentially by a flag, which I don't like at all. So
yeah, it's frustrating. I see Luden. I think it's Luden here, and I hopefully I'm pronouncing that correctly here.
Yeah.
What about the holding call that wasn't called on Trey on the play that got the extra 15 to win the game? Yeah, that was part. There were two potential holding calls in the same play that I saw that were not called. There was the intentional grounding call that was called against Burrow in the previous drive. Now, granted, the Bengals were amazingly able to overcome that with that great play to Hurst. But still, that puts you in a big hole, right? I mean that. And these are the types of things there. And then there was a block in the back on the punt return that you're like, hey, that wasn't called. And there's all these things. And you go, you know, really shoulda, woulda, coulda. Because, Jason, here's the deal, man. We can complain about the officiating. We can complain about all of this. And I'm sure we're going to get Chiefs fans in here. And they're going to just see this little thing at the bottom there. And they're going to see us talking about this. And of course, they're calling, No, the bottom line is the Bengals held Patrick Mahomes for the better part of almost four entire quarters on his home field to 20 points.
Right.
I mean, granted they won 23-20.
Right.
But you hold Patrick Mahomes to 20 points on his home field as a defense, and you have Joe Burrow on the other sideline, you kind of feel like that's a game that you got in your pocket. Yep. And so the Cincinnati Bengals, Burrow threw two interceptions. you can kind of say, well, I mean, one was almost a punt in the T. Higgins one. That, I mean, I kind of equated to that. But you look at some of the things, it was not a great day on offense. And really, quite honestly, the best thing that they had going for them on offense today was Tyler Boyd early, and Boyd left the game with an injury. Boyd was kind of the guy that was moving the chains and extending drives early. Chase made a couple of nice plays, especially on that fourth down, which was insane. Higgins had that Randy Moss play, but I mean, it was just kind of the consistency on offense wasn't there that we have seen against Buffalo, that we've seen against all these other teams in this, what was a 10 game winning streak or 11 game winning streak, whatever it was. The consistency was not there. It was like, we got to hope we got to do a wing and a prayer type of play to get points, to extend drives, that sort of thing. And the running game wasn't there. Just not a lot of consistency on offense. It starts with the offensive line for sure.
Absolutely. So I think for the first time since we lost three starters, you know, we didn't really see it catch up to us in Buffalo. They played, the whole offensive line played great. Everything was great in Buffalo. But having three starting offensive linemen out just killed them today. Chris Jones was a monster today. And we also need to remember that the only team that had more sacks this season than the Kansas City Chiefs was the Philadelphia Eagles, which they had 70, which is insane. But the Chiefs had 55. They've been good at rushing the passer all season long, and they haven't been able – and they were just – I mean, they just kind of ate the Bengals offensive line up today. I mean, all over the place. Chris Jones was everywhere. I know I was kind of surprised to learn today before the game started that he had actually not had a postseason sack in his entire career until today.
That's crazy. Yeah. That surprised me. Yeah. I mean, he's a beast. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. But I mean, just having, and it wasn't just pass blocking, Mixon averaged 2.4 yards per carry. P. Ryan was better, 4.4 yards per carry for P. Ryan. But the running game wasn't there. It was frustrating, but the offensive line having, so we lost left tackle and right guard and right tackle. And I mean, when you have a team that can rush the passer, when you're playing backups, it's recipe for disaster.
It is. And kudos to the Chiefs, because at the end of the game there, his sack that Jones had, they saw a mismatch off the edge, and they said, hey, instead of playing him on the interior where he dominates, they said, hey, we're going to kind of, I think it was a 3-man front at the time. I have to go back and look, but it is, I think, a 3-man front. And they're like, hey, you're going to go up against Adeniji here, backup right tackle, not against Karras, you know, or Volson or what have you, kind of the starters that are inside. You're going to go up against a backup right tackle, and we're going to try and get a mismatch there. Right. And they exploited it. So kudos to them. And you know, I'm already seeing a little bit of chatter in our live chats, and that's okay. That's from some Chiefs fans, and that's fine. Yeah. But the bottom line is, this is becoming a marquee matchup.
It is.
And when you look at the last four, these four games, we're talking two AFC championship games, and we're talking two very high profile regular season games, Jason, and each game, 3 points. And last drive, right? We're not talking runaway, you know, runaway. It's last drive, either bleed the clock out or a last field goal. And that's what it is, or overtime, right? I mean, so if either fan base wants to really run their mouth, it's like, hey, this is a really close rivalry. These are two really good teams, two really good quarterbacks. And it's a one possession game every single time.
Absolutely. And this is one of those matchups that you see Thursday night football, first game of the season. Yeah. You want the Bengals and the Chiefs out there because they haven't failed to have an entertaining game all season long. Another thing, just back to the offensive line real quick, to adjust for that, to adjust for the fact that the first half was bad, but to adjust for that, they had to bring their tight ends back into the backfield. They had to leave a running back in the backfield. So they're missing a lot of Hayden Hurst out. You know, he had some big plays, but they're missing him in routes. They doubled Chase and Higgins, and they just said, you got to beat us with your backup wide receiver because Boyd's out. You know, it was a tough situation that they were in. But absolutely, I do think that this is a maybe one of our first non-divisional rivalries, you know, and I could absolutely see this being Thursday Night Football game number one to open the season. So we'll see.
Yeah. I don't know if I want it there based on the lack of success on Sunday night, but I mean, I you know, you could see Sunday night Chris Collinsworth calling these games, and boy, Chris, he's only seen about, I think, one win ever by the Bengals on Sunday Night Football since it came back to NBC. But regardless. I'm seeing some stuff about Travis Kelce. To be quite honest, I just kind of, after the thing, I'm like, I'm not watching the trophy.
Right. Yeah, I'm not going to watch it
either. Yeah, I'm like, I'm not. I saw some clips and whatever, and, you know, he said some things, and, you know, quite honestly, it's one of those things where you roll your eyes a little bit, but you kind of say, well, I mean, it's, if you're the Bengals, you did run your mouth a little bit, right? Whether it's the team itself, whether it's the mayor, whether it's whomever, you ran your mouth, and if you didn't get the win, you were going to get it back. Right. So, right. I mean, you can hate on Travis Kelce, by the way, a local guy, UC guy. Right. Sure. So, yep. I mean, you can hate on him for the public comments and the riling up the Chiefs fans, during the trophy ceremony and all this kind of stuff. And that's fine. But, you know, if you're going to put yourself that far out there, if you're the Bengals, people associated with the city, the team, et cetera, I mean, you don't come through with the win. You're going to get that back. That's just kind of the reality of it.
That's just how any sports works. You know, you run your mouth a little bit, and that's fine. You know, no one's hurting anybody, but yeah, you knew that if the Chiefs won, we were going to get it back, and we're going to have to eat crow and get ready for next year. That's the only thing that we can do. I saw a little bit of Joe Burrow's press conference. I don't know if you were able to catch it, but he basically just said that it's time, you know, get your minds and body right, improve the team, and get ready for next year. But he said that he absolutely expects to see the Chiefs again in the AFC Championship because he knows who their quarterback is and that they're coached by Andy Reid, who's one of the all-time great offensive coaches in NFL history.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out. Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries, not including...
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on. And there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
It's funny because earlier today, before this game kicked off or anything, I just happened to look up. I'm like, you know, not, I don't want to assert anybody to certain levels or whatever, but I looked at what's the history of Peyton Manning and Tom Brady. And I kind of just off the top of my mind, granted, because I didn't cover those teams closely or what have you, I just kind of felt like, oh, well, given that, you know, it felt like Manning was a guy who went to the postseason a lot. And, you know, when he ran into Brady, it was like, oh, it's done. And, you know, in the regular season, it just felt like Brady had it. And Brady had, you know, an advantage in terms of overall record, but there were more wins than I had thought with Manning, the Brady Manning thing. And so, you know, that just was one of those iconic deals. And maybe that's just what we have here. But the bottom line is, here we are again, though, Jason, and I know we're only now going to be entering year four, and we can talk about this throughout the week too, but we're only going to be entering year four of the Joe Burrow era, but here we go. Now, you know, he says the championship window is his entire career. I believe him. I think the Bengals are going to extend him this year and pay him a just back up the Brinks truck for him, you know, but, I mean, here we go now. You're talking about 2 years. We're kind of getting a little spoiled now based on previous history, but you just kind of felt like how the Bengals were playing the chip on the shoulder this year, what they overcame, what they were able to overcome in terms of injuries, all that. You just kind of felt like this was maybe the year, very, very good year, one you can really hang your hat on, but still come up short.
Yeah. You know, it's a rough ending after, I think, 10 games, right? 10 games winning streak. Yeah. And which is almost, it's so improbable in general anyway to win 10 games in a row. And a lot of things have to go your way. A lot of balls have to bounce your way to win 10 games in a row. But you're right. You know, on that winning streak, and then, you know, Patrick Mahomes comes in with a bum ankle, and then you had, you know, you heard about Travis Kelce, and he's a game time decision. You really don't know how they're going to play. They both looked great. So, you know, you think this is the year, this is it. Maybe we'll get the Niners, third time's a charm. Man. Obviously that wasn't even close to happening, but, you know,
I don't mean to cut you off too. I feel bad for the 49ers because I felt like they didn't even get a fair shake today. No, really. With the injuries, it just felt like it was like, they kind of got cheated out of their own deal. But anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, you're good. You know, but I do think that this is what we can expect. And I said something before we went live. I said, I do want to remind everybody that, you know, we had, first of all, we had the lost decade of the 90s, which was, you know, if you survived that, you can survive this. So you'll be fine. But then you had Carson Palmer come in, and it's the terrible injury to his knee on a home playoff game. And you think maybe if he doesn't get hurt, they win the Super Bowl. And then you have Andy Dalton come in, and we lose five straight first round playoff games, 5 years consecutively. It's never going to happen. And then Joe Burrow comes in, we go to the Super Bowl, lose by three. We go to the next AFC championship, lose by three. So things are really good. I'm not saying that, you know, this is a tough loss to swallow. But this is the new standard. This is what we can get used to, you know, and I think that we will win one. I do truly believe that. I think that Joe Burrow will take us where we need to go.
I think multiple are probably in the future there. But, that'd be great. It's hard right now, though, because this, and I'm sure this is going to be the offseason talking point here, because I think where you felt like this was kind of the year, there are a lot of free agents, that are coming up this offseason, next offseason, guys coming out of rookie contracts and whatever. So you kind of felt like, man, this is where you capitalize, and then you maybe kind of add pieces here and there. But the bottom line is, and this is how I feel about it, is when you have your head coach and you have your quarterback, you're always in it.
Yeah.
The Bengals have those. Right. And when you do not, the have-nots are the ones who are clearly, you know, not in it every year. So there are some things that the Bengals need to do in terms of, you know, tweaking their roster and finding different things to improve their roster. Obviously, I mean, last week we're sitting here singing the praises of three backup offensive linemen against the Buffalo Bills and the way that they played and manhandled the Bills defensive line and linebackers in that game. And then, you know, this week it's like, wow, you know, you go up against a bigger, better Chiefs defensive front, and you know the weaknesses were exploited. And so I don't know what you do, because quite honestly, the Bengals got, you know, four new starters on their offensive line. They were like, this is our biggest weakness of our football team. We're gonna do whatever we can to fix that. They did. And unfortunately, they just got injured. Yep. And you go, man, if only they had gotten past this game, you probably would have had one, if not two, of those guys back for the Super Bowl, given the 2 week rest.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. You think, especially, I know I saw Kappa walking around. There were kind of some talks that maybe he would be ready to go for this game. And obviously he wasn't. But you think that maybe Kappa and possibly Williams come back for this game. Or for the Super Bowl if they get past this game. I really thought when Burrow had the ball tie game with 2 minutes left, I was like, well, this is it. This is what, you know, this is how he kind of seals his legend status. But, you know, it didn't work out that way. I do think the offseason, I think they, you know, on top of getting healthy, I still think they need to tweak the offensive line a little bit.
Depth, honestly.
Yeah,
I mean, depth, it's like
a lot of depth. And then, you know, obviously they're going to have to pay Burrow, but like you mentioned, they're the haves and the haves not. Kansas City backed 20 Brinks trucks up for Patrick Mahomes and paid him $1 trillion. But, you know, they're going to the Super Bowl. So I, you know, I don't think paying Joe Burrow what he deserves to be paid is going to kill any chances of them bringing the right guys in. They just have to find the right guys. And they've done that over the last few years. You know, they brought in Reader. They traded for BJ Hill, one of the greatest trades in Bengals history. Losing Price for Hill was unbelievable. I still have a hard time believing that happened.
Yeah.
They drafted guys like Joseph Asai. I don't remember what round he was drafted in, but I know it wasn't the first. Yeah, third round. There you go. They've done the right thing over the last few, the last couple off seasons. They've opened up their wallets, and I expect them to do that again. They're right there, and, you know, just a little bit more to get over the hill.
Yeah, they've got some big decisions to make this offseason in terms of who to keep, who not to keep. And, you just kind of felt like, man, especially this mission they were supposedly on, given what happened last year, and that they just were not, you know, thought of. They still were kind of the underdog. And then here we go this week. And, again, hats off to the Chiefs, because I'm going to tell you this before we get into some of these, and it'll probably indicate some of this in the box score. I haven't really combed through it deeply, but I mean, you saw early, Jason, when the Chiefs made a big play on offense, when they made a big play on defense, they had that passion, right? I mean, it was like they wanted this game. Now, I don't want to say they wanted it more than the Bengals. I don't want to say that, that's whatever, but the Chiefs wanted this win. They listened to the noise. I think the Bengals listened to the noise as well. And, you know, one team just kind of did maybe one or two things better than the Bengals did. And it really did come down to, you know, not great execution on offense by the Cincinnati Bengals. Some wonky stuff with the officiating. And then the Chiefs just playing with a high level of passion as well in this game that kind of put them over the edge.
Right. You know, the Bengals have kind of played with that chip on their shoulder, and that's been their calling card throughout the entire postseason. With the Ravens coming in, they won that game, but then they gave them no shot against the Bills, and they came up there and just absolutely dismantled them in Buffalo. And then things kind of turned. You know, we were – I know that the Chiefs – I think the closing, the line, the last was I think the Chiefs by one, I think. But, you know, the Bengals were favored for a little while, and then a lot of people picked the Bengals, and there was a lot of the mayor thing. I think the Chiefs kind of came in with a little chip on their shoulder this time. But I do want to say this. It's the AFC Championship game, and these guys are all professional athletes. If they needed something to play for, they probably shouldn't be in the NFL. I don't, right. I'm not going to really buy into the Bengals ran their mouths and the Chiefs, you know, that's why the Chiefs won. That's not why the Chiefs won. That's, you know, they were ready to play. They're going to be ready to play no matter what. You know, these guys are pros. They know what they're doing. You mentioned something wonky with the officiating, the third down thing. The do-over on third down was the worst, the wonkiest thing ever. And I know they said there was a whistle blown, and you saw, when they replayed the official running onto the field. And that ended up not costing them because they still stopped him on third down. And then,
ball didn't lie, right?
No. But still, oh my gosh, that was one of those things I was pacing back and forth. Yeah, I wasn't happy about that.
I don't like to be the guy who points out one, specific officiating crew or what have you, but there's a little bit of smoke and fire with the Ron Torbert crew. I mean, really, there's a lot of inconsistent officiating in the history there. And, it's not so much them, because it really comes down to the league. And, it always goes back to the argument of, hey man, the league's got to hire full-time, full-time officials and all this kind of stuff. And they just haven't done it. So, that's just kind of part of the deal. Again, this isn't the loss is not on the officials. I never blame, unless there's a blatant, touchdown that was, points literally taken off the board. But there was stuff where you just kind of say there was an impact felt, and there was officiating decisions that did impact potential drives and things of that nature. But the bottom line is, again, I just keep saying it. Bengals hold Mahomes to 20, essentially 20 points until the very end of the game there. Yep. You hold Mahomes to 20 points on his home field in the playoffs. Yep. Like you kind of feel like you should win that game, right? I mean, it just kind of feels that way. I had the wrong box score pulled up. I thought I had the right one. This is why I need you, buddy. You get to correct. This is exactly why. But no, let's pull this up here. This, I believe, is the correct one here. And you look at it, an imperfect game from Joe Burrow, including two picks, which was uncharacteristic of him in this win streak. Really, the only interceptions he was kind of, or turnovers he was creating, was against AFC North teams, right? I mean, the AFC North teams were the ones that kind of had some, we're used to him a bit, and he played essentially perfect football against the Kansas City Chiefs when he played him. Not so much the case here. You see 5 sacks, 2 interceptions. Now, that's not to say Joe Burrow didn't play a good game, because there was a lot of throws in this game where you go, wow. And a lot of people are saying, I'm seeing some Burrow slander a little bit on some of the social media sites and whatnot. I mean, man, when you're telling him go convert a 3rd-and-16 or 3rd-and-17 at the end with less than 2 minutes in Arrowhead, I mean, come on. I mean, and he throws a dime to the outside, and there was a throw to Hurst in the end zone early in the game that I think they ended up settling for a field goal. Tough ball, put it where only he could get it. It was dropped or just not completed. So, I mean, overall, I don't think Joe Burrow is necessarily to blame for this loss. I still would kind of say, you know, imperfect game by him, offensive line and other issues played a part in that. But you just can't throw 2 interceptions and have Mahomes not throw any in Arrowhead in the AFC Championship game.
Right. Yeah, the only turnover that Mahomes had was that kind of weird fumble that
I guess it just slipped out of his hands.
Yeah. I kind of hesitate to call that a dropped pass by Hurst, because I mean, it would have been a great catch. I wish he would have caught it. Obviously, wish he would have caught it.
Right.
It was also that play that hit Ja'Marr Chase in the face right off his helmet. You know, there were a lot of perfect throws. The bottom line though is that Joe Burrow is in the conversation with Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, whoever else you want to say are the best quarterbacks, you know, in the league right now. But we're seeing this comment. Joe Burrow was hurried and couldn't put enough arc on the ball. Sure, absolutely. He was hurried all game long. He was forced to throw the ball earlier than he wanted to. He's in the conversation. We want to talk about the Brady and the Brady Manning rivalry. This is probably it. You know, is probably it. So we're 3-1. They'll play again next year. I don't remember if they're in Arrowhead or in Cincinnati. I think they're in Arrowhead again next year. I think.
Yeah, I'll have to double check on that. But here's what's interesting to me, Jason, is usually you would say we're going to go all out on Mahomes, and the Bengals did that to some degree this time, but we're going to go out all out on Patrick Mahomes, and we're going to let them kind of get us by the run if they're able to. Right. Mm-hmm. We're not going to let Pat do all his backyard football type of play. And we're, you know, if you want to run the ball on us, that's fine. But this week, I think the game plan was a little different in some ways. Of course, Mahomes is going to be Mahomes, but I think they were like, hey, he's hurt. Like he's not as mobile. He's not going to do as many things with his legs. And you saw he had the one run at the end of the game there, obviously, and he got hit out of bounds with it. But it was not the dance around a ton of ad lib, you know, run all around the park, because he just couldn't. Right. So the Bengals, if you look here where my cursor is, 20 carries for 42 yards as a team.
Yeah,
for the Kansas City Chiefs, and 2.1 yards per carry. They kind of said, we're going to clamp down on the run, and then we're going to do what we can in the past. You know, we're going to let Patrick Mahomes, you know, maybe make a turnover or two here. And Mahomes played exceptional. He really, really did on a bad ankle. And so, you know, you look at the Bengals there, 4.2 yards per carry. But I found this stat down here, 2.1 yards per carry and only 42 yards on the ground by the Chiefs. Very, very interesting in this one, with Mahomes throwing for 326.
And I think that's a pretty good game plan, considering Mahomes' his injury in general, not being as mobile. Because, you know, he creates so well in the backfield, just like Joe Burrow does. When he gets out of the pocket, he can do some crazy things. Like, he made some insane throws. They weren't all complete, but he made some insane throws as he was falling down today You know, what he can do with his arm is unbelievable. So I like the idea of taking the run game away. I just think Mahomes just had an incredible game, and that's what Mahomes, that's what he does. So the offense has to play better, basically. So
yeah,
the
defense did their job. Valdez Scantling, they didn't have really a good answer for him. He made big play after big play, 6 for 116 and a touchdown. Kelce got 7 for 78 and a touchdown. I mean, he made his plays. He had that one, you know, kind of killer play in the end zone for a touchdown, but you know, wasn't a gigantic game from him, but still, I mean, he got his. Higgins and Chase each had 6 catches. I mean, not the monster game from the Bengals wide receivers, but the only touchdown being to Higgins from Burrow, 6 for 83 and a touchdown from him. A great, great play by Higgins on that one. And you look around, I mean, the Bengals, they had 3 sacks on Mahomes. One was from Sample, one was from Hubbard, one was looking for the other one there. I don't know who had the other sack there, but
Mike Hilton. There you go.
Yeah, there you go. And then you look here, you know, 5 sacks and 12, I think it's 12 quarterback hits here from the Kansas City Chiefs, and 12 quarterback hits. You look at it though, I mean, you know, Chris Jones had 2, Frank Clark had, when you have 3.5 between Chris Jones and Frank Clark, it's a bad day. I mean, those are the two guys. You, if one guy kind of has a good game and the other doesn't or whatever, I mean, but both of them having those numbers, you simply cannot have that, because those are two very good football players on their defensive line. You just can't have them combining for 3.5 sacks. It's just not a formula for success.
And that's again, that comes back to the injuries on the offensive line and then having to bring 2 potential receivers that could open things up for you, keep them in the backfield where, you know, they're not able to run routes. And then, you know, when, so the Kansas City Chiefs, they double Higgins, they double Chase, and they have to leave Hurst in sometimes, or they have to leave Pirine in when they could have gone out and, you know, caught passes, gained first down. So I think a lot of this game comes down to, again, just the injuries on the offensive line and unable to stop guys like Chris Jones and a team that was very good at sacking the quarterback this year. So
they were, that was the deal. I think they were 3rd in hits and pressures or something, and or 3rd in sacks and 1st in hits and pressures or something like that. I mean, they were top 5 in 2 very, like they were 3 very, very important categories. Yeah. I mean, it's just, they were, it's like, you know, you can.
Yeah, they were 2nd in sacks behind the Eagles. So 55 during the regular season. That's a lot. It's a lot. So, you know, I think that we knew coming into this game it would be tough. But I had hope because of the way they played in Buffalo, and it just didn't turn out that way this time.
So I could have pulled up videos and showed you, you know, I could have pissed and moaned about, you know, oh, there's P. Ryan in this circle. Here's the only thing I'm going to point out here. Okay. When you look at, you know, here's the penalty on Joe Burrow, the intentional grounding. I think you had said maybe one of those other in this drive maybe could have had a roughing the passer. This is my thing, Jason. When you're going to put this borderline call on the game, and I highlighted it, we're talking under 1.5 minutes in the 4th quarter of the AFC Championship game.
Right.
That's my issue with it. It's not so much like, you know, and granted, there's never really a great time to call a penalty if it's borderline or iffy or what have you. But then you have that at 1.5 minutes. And then, you know, of course, the Bengals 3rd and 16, they convert it. So really you go, okay, well, I mean, how much does that really matter? Well, I mean, who knows, right? I mean, they could have had a different game plan altogether instead of, you know, being a 3rd and 7 instead of 3rd and 16. Who knows? Who knows what? That those are the questions that are raised. And then, of course, you know, you look at it here, Bengals end up punting. And then, you know, on the ensuing punt return, you're talking about no calls in the block in the back type of stuff. And then, of course, you've got the 3rd and 4 run by Mahomes that ended up sealing everything there because he had 5 yards for the first down, the offside penalty, which I think the offside penalty was warranted. But, you know, you look at that, you look at that play, there's 1 or 2 potential holds that were not called on that play either. And you just look at it, you know, you're talking about that's the thing, 17 seconds left in the game, right? I mean, it's just, that's my issue with it. It's not so much like, hey, we're talking about, it's like, man, it's at these critical junctures where you're not making calls, you're making certain calls, and it's not, dictating the outcome directly, I guess, of the game, but it is influencing the game in a pretty significant way.
That's a good way to phrase it. It's not dictating the outcome, but it absolutely is influencing. And when you have 24 seconds on the clock, it's terrible. You know, you don't want a play like or a flag to decide the outcome of the game. And like you said, Osai's flag, the penalty on Osai, it was warranted. Mahomes was out of bounds. But there were some, like you said, the holding call, could Trey Hendrickson was held. You know, there are a couple no calls. I also want to mention that punt. Drew Chrisman wasn't great today. There were some bad punts. You know, so the coverage on that punt, because it was a line low line drive punt, was bad as well. I think it was a net 25-yard punt, which was terrible. Yeah, there was. If it's a good punt, you think maybe they just go to overtime, and then we saw what happened last year in overtime.
Yep. That's a good point. And again, it points to the fact that that's not officiating. That's not great execution, right? So, and this right here, I mean, we can again, piss and moan about the officiating, and there's a lot there that kind of you want to talk about. But when you look at it, Chiefs had more first downs. They had more passing first downs, less rushing first downs, but more passing first downs, 17 to 11. They were better on third down, 7 of 14 instead of 6 of 14 by the Bengals. Both teams were 1 of 1 on fourth down. You look at it, they ran more plays. They had more total yards, 357 to 309. Bengals actually had one more drive, ironically, than the Chiefs, which is just funny. Chiefs had more yards per play, 5.4. More. I mean, you go down the line, it's just, hey, they beat them in almost every area. This again, though, look at this one, Jason.
Oh, yeah.
Penalties. 9 for 71 for the Bengals, one of the least penalized teams traditionally under Zach Taylor in the league. 9 for 71 somehow in the AFC Championship game, and only 4 for 55 for the Chiefs. So you look at that and you go, But again, 2 turnovers by the Bengals, 1 for the Chiefs. Right. And you look at time of possession, Chiefs had the ball for, you know, five
more minutes.
Yeah. So again, we can bemoan the officiating all we want, and there are complaints there, but you look at it and you kind of say, hey, you know, the Chiefs just did a little bit more in a lot of different areas that the Bengals just couldn't come back from. Whether you want to call that the emotion, the passion in the game, or what have you, you just kind of got to say, hey, this was one of those games that in this series is always dictated by a field goal. That just kind of the scale kind of slightly tipped to the Chiefs this time, and they took care of business.
Yeah. And also, the Bengals have been one of the most sure tackling defenses all season long. I don't know if they were first or second, maybe, in for having the least amount of missed tackles. And there were some big time missed tackles today. Pacheco completely ran over Pratt for a extra 10 yards on a first down. There were some bad missed tackles in this game. So it was execution for sure. But I do believe that some officiating had something to do with the loss, but in the end, the Bengals just didn't play as well as the Chiefs did.
Yeah. And so. I mean, he's one of my favorite players on this team, Mike Hilton.
Oh, absolutely.
And he that missed, you know, the guy who's talking about Burrowhead and all that kind of stuff. And there was some rough patches from him early in this game.
Yep.
And he wasn't the only one. I don't want to single him out, but you get singled out a little bit when you make those comments. But he ended up late in the game, ended up playing a lot better, as did a lot of players. I think the Bengals just were a little stunned in general by, wow. I mean, the Chiefs just came out swinging, right? I mean, I don't know that they had thought that it was going to be, they knew what they were up against. I thought that they maybe were like, whoa, they really came out passionate about this thing, right?
Right.
And I mean, granted, there's blame to share in a lot of different directions, you know. But like you said, there were missed tackles. There was bad execution on the offensive line at times. And, you know, again, the Chiefs just did a little bit more. They just did a little bit more in this one. And this is a game that I think a lot of people will say, hey, this is probably going to be a staple in the AFC playoffs. I know that doesn't maybe ring great right now with Bengals fans, but, you know, this is probably going to be a staple game in the AFC playoffs for many, many years based on who their quarterbacks are, who their coaches are, and just how they construct their rosters. And it's probably going to be outcomes like this, where it's 3 points one way, 3 points the other way.
Yep. To be the best, you have to beat the best. And that's what the Bengals have to do. you know, yeah, I mean, it's just it's frustrating. I kind of at a loss of words. It's frustrating. It was a frustrating game to watch. And there are some silver linings, like you said earlier. The fact that we went into halftime down one score seems like a win to me because we were so outplayed in the first half.
But
they held them to a couple field goals. You know, just one touchdown, a couple field goals. The defense, you know, had kind of a bend but don't break mentality with some of the Kansas City drives where they held them to those field goals, and the Bengals were able to get on the board as well. So yeah, the fact that we went down just, you know, one touchdown was big. And then we came out and stopped them. I think the Chiefs maybe went three and out in the first drive in the second half. The Bengals tied things up at 13. So, you know, they clawed back into it. They did. And they almost pulled it out. It just wasn't quite enough. And I think a lot of it was the injuries on the offensive line. I think, you know, undisciplined play on defense. That's not very, common with this year's, defense. Lou Anarumo's defense this year. Now it's just time to sign Burrow for $1 trillion and bring in a couple free agents, have a good draft, you know.
Well, the good news is that the bulk of the core guys are still going to be under contract on both sides of the ball. And a good portion of them will still be on rookie deals and that sort of thing as the Bengals try to extend them. Now, the other good news is that the Bengals have seemingly struck. I mean, really, their only big swing and miss in free agency that was, you know, kind of one of their bigger signings was Trey Waynes, right? I mean, everybody else has been like, wow.
Yeah.
Right. Even Larry Ogunjobi, who's not with them, who was not with them this year. Last year, he was like, wow, what a pickup, right? So absolutely. They seem to identify guys in free agency well, and they seem now also, Jason, to be able, you know, the 2019 class, maybe notwithstanding, they seem to be drafting and developing well. So I think there's a higher level of confidence to be like, hey, you know, if you do lose, unfortunately, I think he's a really good player, but if you do lose a Jermaine Pratt, if you do lose a Jesse Bates, if you do lose some of these guys, you kind of say, well, you know, either they've got somebody in the wings that they can develop pretty quickly, or they'll bring in a guy, free agency draft, that sort of thing, to maybe fill some of these gaps and start getting the thing back moving in the direction that everybody wants it to be.
Yeah, I totally agree. You know, I'd hate to lose Pratt. Pratt was maybe the most improved defensive player on the team from last year to this year. I hate to lose Bates, a guy that, you know, homegrown. Not from Cincinnati, but, you know, he's a homegrown guy, the guy that you draft, one of the best safeties in the league. They did draft Dax Hill this year. I have to assume that's because they think that Bates is going to be somewhere else next year, but who knows? But yeah, you know, they've done well in free agency. They've done well in the draft. I believe they'll continue to do so. Now it's sad that it's over, you know, that's the thing. I didn't want it to be over. I wanted one more game. So,
yeah. And Brandon here is upset. Here we go. Off season talk. Here we come. I mean, what do you want me? They're not playing in the Super Bowl. I can't preview the Super Bowl if they're not playing in it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I get you. We're all hurting with you, but I mean, it is what it is. But this has been good chatting with you. I usually do this solo, and it's boring as hell sometimes when I do it solo. And I think people probably get bored with me doing it alone. So it's good to kind of volley some ideas back at you. And I'll obviously, like I said, kind of commiserate with everything going on tonight. But hell of a game, really. Yeah. I mean, it really. I mean, I know. It didn't go the way we want it. It came down to last possession. It came down to, you know, Burrow and the offense had an opportunity to go ahead and, you know, whether field goal, touchdown, whatever, to do that. They didn't. And whatever you want to call how things played out in those last two drives with the men in stripes, it played out a certain way. And Chiefs did the job that they needed to do. They played very well throughout the game, and both teams just kind of weathered a lot of big, you know, kind of a slugfest kind of game. Yeah. And Chiefs just did, like I said, keep saying, they just did just a tiny bit more, and they came out on top 23-20. All these games are decided by field goals, and I'm sure this is going to be one of many other chapters to come.
I agree. I think this is going to go into a book as just a classic game between the Bengals and Chiefs, just one of many that we're probably going to see moving forward, especially in situations like this when it means everything. So
it does. Jason, just so people can find your stuff and
yeah,
find you and all that stuff. Where are you at on Twitter? I know you do some stuff on Cincy Joe. You do the Tuesday Trenches, do you
know? Yeah, Tuesday Trenches every week. I'm going to do some more stuff. I did some stuff on the how the Bengals signed some guys for less money than, you know, that have worked out really well. I'm on Twitter. It's Jason RG83. So, but yeah, I'm a Cincy Jungle every Tuesday, and then I'll be back with you.
Yeah. Man, I just wasn't, I kind of was just hoping for a Cinderella story. Well, I don't know if it's Cinderella story this year. I think the redemption story is maybe more, more upright. I guess that was maybe what, where I thought we were going to go, but unfortunately the Bengals just come up just short against those Kansas City Chiefs, and we'll see what happens. Jason, thanks for all of your work, and we'll be working with you more here. Thanks everybody for, we've got a ton of live viewers through a lot of different platforms. I'm sure a lot of them are satisfied Kansas City Chiefs fans as well, but mostly some, some sad Bengals fans. Thanks. Thanks to all of you. And of course you can get this show and all of the shows on the Cincy Jungle podcast channel through your favorite audio streamer, whether that's iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, all of the ones we are there. And beneath Jason there by the Cincy Jungle icon, there is a show logo. If you like the YouTube channel, go ahead and click that, subscribe, click the bell to be notified when we go live, when new content is available. And then of course, if you like the video stuff as well, you got to give a thumbs up on the Cincy Jungle Facebook page. We're there. Yeah. Appreciate everybody. Hell of a season. We'll be back with all kinds of stuff. We're not taking really much of a break on this show or at cincyjungle.com, even though the Bengals are now planning to the offseason. We've got a lot to talk about. We'll be doing that. Jason, take care, bud. Thanks for coming on with me tonight.
Absolutely. Have a good night. All right. Keep your heads up.
Trying to.
Yeah.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.